to you guys. So thank you very much for listening to us. Here's Maud.
We're going to try to take turns. Parenting, that is what we're talking about. And it's one of the most rewarding, but at the same time, it's one of the most difficult roles that God entrusts us with when he blesses us with children. I also liken it to a roller coaster ride. A roller coaster ride that takes your family through the ups and downs of life. And there's so many intersections that also happen that there ends up becoming a lot of collisions along the way. Any amens out there? This ride lasts our entire lifetime. And if you happen to be in denial about a certain area of personal sin, these little collision courses that happen tend to expose those areas in your life. There also may be some dysfunction that's also within your extended family that also tends to come out. It's usually not just one incident where we have these collisions, but it's just a series, a lot of small incidents. But the more that you ignore, you're in denial about it, the bigger probably the crash collision is going to happen. So these opportunities truly are opportunities to set us free from the sin that the Bible says easily entangles us and our family. Brad and I are the parents of two boys. Our oldest son, Matthew, he turns 34 at the end of this month, and Taylor, our younger son, is 32. I became a Christian when our boys were young, and looking back, I see a lot of the parallels of the growing of my faith and the raising of our boys. Both involve a lot of patience. Patience. It's mentioned in the Bible a lot. And it's linked to trust and hope and faith and love and proven character. I want all those things as a mark in my life as a Christian. And patience and parenting go hand in hand. And it makes me think of seed time and harvest. There is a time to plant the seeds. There's a time to water the ground. And then there's a time to patiently wait for the growth. Paul says in Galatians, patiently wait for the harvest. Paul says in Galatians 3:6-7, I planted the seed and Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. So I see a really big principle here for all of us, and it's this. The most important part of the process, the growth, is God's job. Okay, in case you didn't get that, the most important part of the process, the growth, is whose job? God's job. And what did the scripture say about our part? So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. It's all about the Lord. God is faithful to complete the work that he has started. He is the one that's in the relationship business. And over the years, I've seen him do transforming work in my life, and that's all because of my relationship with him. And if I can be patient when it comes to me and the work that he's done in me, why, oh, why is it so hard to be so patient with others, whether it's Brad or the boys? I want to see the results, and I want to see them now. And I want to see that completed work. And that's impatience working in me. Well, when the boys were young, Brad and I did some things right, and we also did some things wrong. We also had our family influence, our extended family, that also did some things right and some things wrong. What I've come to realize now that our boys are grown and still growing is that some of those things that we did wrong, they have a longer lasting effect, way more than I ever imagined. Both of our boys struggled. Our older son struggled more in the high school years and as Brad and I were talking about it, it's like he was the prodigal that he came to his senses before he was 20 years old, though. Our younger son, Taylor, a little bit different story in his walk. He struggled. He had the biggest struggle that began really after college. And so that's kind of where we're going to start here. So Taylor, he was living at home and looking for a job. And what we realize, it's not that Taylor wasn't having some struggles before. He was having, you know, some rebellious issues through high school. But Matthew was our main attention because he was having some big issues. And so I would liken it to this roller coaster that for Taylor, there were some wheels coming off the tracks a little bit, but it was just normal kind of teenage rebellion. And then after he got home from college and he's staying at home while he's looking for a job, the big collision happened.
Well, there's been more than one big collision, but there's been a few big collisions. But anyway, I'm going to put on my reading glasses. I'd become a Christian just before our first son, Matthew, was born. I was 25 and Maud was 23 years old when our first son, Matthew, was born. I'd only been a Christian by name at that point and had a long way to go in figuring out areas God needed to work in me. My relationship with the boys when they were young was what I thought it should be. I was very involved in their lives, especially through coaching their sports teams. When the boys got to their teenage rebellious years, my response was to try and take more control. Neither of them responded well to that. After a couple of years, Maud and I threw in the white towel of surrender to the Lord. We decided our relationship with our boys was more important than our controlling them. We knew we needed God's help more than ever. First thing we did was stop fighting each other, and we found areas of agreement to address their issues. Maud convinced me to quit micromanaging the boys and let them go to reap what they sow. This meant letting them make their own decisions. Let them be in charge of their homework, let them fail classes, and let them go out with friends and get in trouble. And they did a fair amount of that. We didn't bail them out, but let them suffer the consequences of their choices. It was easy to think we had gotten out of the woods when we saw Matthew turn around at age 19. In March of 2005, he enlisted in the Navy without any consultation from us. We saw a mature, happy, confident, respectful, thoughtful young man a few months later when we attended his boot camp graduation in Great Lakes, Illinois. At this time, Taylor was getting ready to graduate from high school. After his graduation, we moved him into his dorm room in San Marcos, Texas, to start his freshman year at Texas State University. Maud and I were empty nesters now, and we had peace in our home. Matthew was halfway around the world in Yokosuka, Japan, and Taylor was off at college. We thought our parenting role was done, and we were home free for good, and that's what we thought. When Taylor graduated from college, he lived with us while looking for a job. One small disagreement between us erupted into a huge fight. What happened was we were cooking dinner and he had his girlfriend over there and a couple other friends. And we had a nice dinner. And then he asked Maud if he'd go fill up her car with gas. And Maud said yes, Brad said no. Taylor, go fill up your own car with gas. And so there was the confrontation, and Maud wanted to go fill up with his car with gas. I said no, and wouldn't let her. And so Taylor got all upset and just left. He stormed out of the house and disappeared, and we didn't know where he was for a month. He slowly started showing up again, but we never discussed our problems. I noticed a distance between us. He would tell Maud he loved her, but wouldn't say it to me. He was holding on to something that prevented us from becoming close. Through meeting with men in CBMC, I was learning how to be patient, trust God, and wait on him. When your children become adults and start to work, this is the time of life you see much less of them. That is normal. The times we get together with Taylor for birthdays and holidays seem to feel like we were acquaintances, not family. Then came our second big crash collision. It was Christmas 2016, about 2.5 years ago. My mom, who our boys called Mimi, was hosting dinner for the whole family in her nice patio home. Taylor and his fiance were joining us for dinner. When they arrived, Taylor had his big 85-pound dog with him. So nice Christmas dinner, you know, no yard, house with all this nice furniture in it and all these trinkets and stuff, and here's this big old huge dog. There's no place for this dog in her house. My mom and Taylor were discussing this, and all of a sudden he started saying some pretty ugly words to her, and I was standing there and didn't like what I was hearing, and so I kind of stepped in and said, "Taylor, just take your dog home and come on back." And he said, "If I leave and take my dog home, I'm not coming back." And I said, "Well, get out of here then." And that's what I said. And that's exactly what happened. Anyway, that's it.
So I'm going to take us back a couple of weeks before Christmas happened. And what I particularly want those of you who have younger children to really think about and just really emphasize this point is really being honest with what's going on in your family and taking care of those things as they happen. Being open and honest and discussing them, that's definitely not what we did. So I can go back to 2 weeks before the Christmas explosion that happened, and what was going on, Brad's birthday is December 11th, so we were meeting at a restaurant, just our family, the six of us, our boys, Matthew and his wife, Taylor and his fiance, Brad and I, and Brad was coming from somewhere else, and he was about 15 minutes behind us. So the five of us were sitting at the table, and we started talking, and what I realized then is a lot of complaining going on. And the conversation was centering around the occasions that we would go over to Brad's mom's house. And so they were just talking about these problems that they had with Mimi. And I wasn't necessarily joining in the complaining, but I wasn't also helping the situation. So I would find myself agreeing with things going on, but I really didn't notice. Once Christmas happened, I could look back and see that I should have seen it coming. And so there was just a lot of things like, you know, this is how it always is. And just if you're doing this in your family and you're letting some of these issues that you've noticed gone on, maybe if you've had Christmases or Thanksgiving and some of the same issues are coming up, deal with them. We weren't dealing with them. So that started happening, and okay. So after what I call the Christmas explosion, I remember thinking, I should have seen this coming. And so once it happened that night, I was able to call Taylor on the phone, and all he could say that night was that he hated his grandmother and that he hated his dad, and he didn't want them to be ever a part of his life again. He was engaged, and he said that, And in the moment, now get you, this is Christmas. So it's just been darkened and everyone there is kind of deer in the headlights when this was going on. But even though I knew that these words weren't necessarily going to be true, they were hard to hear at the moment. And so he was saying, once I get married, you'll be able to see the baby, you know, the grandbabies, but Dad will never be a part of my life or theirs. That's hard to hear. His anger was consuming him. Well, it wasn't long after that that I set up with Taylor, and he said that I could come over and talk to him. And I knew, and Brad and I prayed a lot, and I was just going to go and just sit and listen to him. And what I heard from Taylor, very loud and clear, was that his perception of his growing up was way different than my perception, Brad's perception. So knowing that, we have to address a lot of times what our children's lies are, lies that they believe, and just speak truth into their life. And so I knew that God could only heal those perceptions by helping him really know what the truth was, and I just wanted to get out of the way. Brad and I were in a better place in our faith than the boys were when they were teenagers, and we both had a confidence. You know, after we got out of the initial part of it, we had a confidence that God could get us through this. So prayerfully, I began with me. I began to ask God to show me what the log was in my own eye. And so he showed me a pattern. If you ask God things like this, he is faithful to share. And he showed me a pattern that I had of complaining. And so I would complain about other family members, and even particularly his mom. And it wasn't necessarily to them, but I definitely had gotten caught up in that. And so I knew that the log that was in my own life was stirring the pot of bitterness, not only in me, but also within my family. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." I also was convicted to speak up rather than keep things in the dark. Ignoring problems will never get solved. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness." So since Christmas, and this has been, like Brad said, it's been 2.5 years ago, and this is such a conviction of my heart. I mean, it really is likened to me, like really, there's been an earthquake shift in my heart and life as a result of seeing this log in my eye. And I have been so much better about being an encourager and speaking good words, not only about my mother-in-law, but just about people in general. And it's been so helpful. And I just didn't see it in myself before. I also have come a long way that I'm just one of those that I avoid confrontation whenever possible, and I am learning how to gently, truly restore, to truly work towards that restoration, to bring up an issue before you're at that crash collision, and it's actually amazingly working. So as long as we're in this world, we will be on a roller coaster ride. I'm asking the Lord to help me to look from the perspective of patience in our boys' faith. They aren't where the Lord wants them to be, but neither am I. The Spirit is giving me the fruit of patience so that I can look to the future beyond what is happening today. God's at work, and I do trust his timing and that he is in charge of their growth. My individual job is to stay on track on where he has me and just remain in that path. And that's how the joy can remain when the ride gets bumpy.
So since 2016, we're calling it the Christmas Explosion. That's the name. It was an explosion, pretty much. God has been working behind the scenes. Taylor made it very clear that he wanted nothing to do with me. I reached out to him via text message to apologize, and he replied for me to quit reaching out to him. I made the decision to honor his request and give him his space. Emotions were running wild during this time. I was actually telling Maud that I did not feel like participating in his upcoming wedding or paying for his rehearsal dinner. Why would I spend a lot of money on someone who doesn't even want a relationship with me and says he hates me? But God and Maud told me to do the opposite of what I was feeling. We started praying for God to use this wedding to reconcile and restore our relationship with our son. We saw this as an opportunity and a blessing, a way to show God's unconditional love to our son and his fiancée, Maya. My mom said she didn't know if she could go to the wedding after the way Taylor had spoken to her. I told my mom that she will go to the wedding and that it's her job to love Taylor and Maya. My focus during all this has been my intimacy with Jesus. My purpose is intimacy with Christ, to love God and to love others well. God is my number one priority. Taylor and Maya got married on November 18th, 2017. The wedding was a huge blessing. Maud and I went all out on the rehearsal dinner. I spent a lot of money, which Tom knows that's hard for me to do. We did this to let Taylor and Maya know how much we love them. Today, this is a miracle. Taylor and I are right now, we're speaking on a regular basis. He's taking my phone calls. It's a miracle. He calls me his general contractor on this barn dominium. He bought this 40 acres out around Weimar, Texas, west of Houston. And we got this project going, and he's put me in charge of it. It's like, all right, God, I'm all into this. You know, this is awesome. Taylor recently told me he loves me. Taylor and Maya had a son of their own on April 16th of this year. In the meantime, I'm staying focused on my relationship with Jesus Christ and keeping him a daily priority. I want God to keep changing me. I'm trusting him with my boys and leaving them up to him. I've learned through you guys, these CBMC men around me, that my purpose in life is intimacy with Jesus. If I get that right, and I work on that on a daily basis, my relationship, all my other relationships are going to be better, and they're going to work out. And what that means is the more intimate I am with Jesus, the better I'm going to love Maud, the better I'm going to love my boys, the better I'm going to love everybody else. And I think Rick mentioned the fruits of the Spirit, you know. And every one of these explosions has been, you know, I've had a huge part of it because I've lost control. And I've reacted in anger, not responded. And so the more intimate I am with Jesus, I've experienced that God is helping my relationships, and God is all about relationships. And I would just say to kind of some of you younger guys, I learned intimacy with Christ within the last 10 years. So I'm 59. That means I didn't have much of a relationship and a great, strong, intimate, daily relationship with Jesus until the last 10 years. So if you like, you're younger than 50, like if you're 40 or 35 or something, talk to one of these men and figure out and learn what that means and start doing it and take it seriously right now, because it'll really help your relationships with your wives and your kids.
Well, before Brad goes out to the country with our son Taylor, I remind him every time, this is Taylor's property, right? And so I tell him, Brad, remember, Taylor's the boss. And I know that's hard, but what happens is your children's grow. I think we want to hold on to our parenting role and keep thinking of them as children. And our roles change. And so if when they're really young, you're starting to work towards letting them have that independence, why in the world would we want to take it back? So we just need to take our role seriously in the part where we are. So we both need a lot of reminders. So it's humbling to see roles change, but it is what happens when our children become adults. They don't necessarily always make the best decisions either, but it's their decisions. Parenting changes quite a bit, and they're no longer these young, pliable little boys and girls that we knew when they were younger who would follow the rules. They're now on their own path, and now it takes more faith to let them continue to find their own way. I also liken it to, as we're talking about the roller coaster, that it's actually them now in their own car, in their own roller coaster ride. And
Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The assurance of things hoped for. Maude and I have always had hope for Matthew and Taylor to have a close walk with Jesus. That hope was nurtured through planting seeds by raising our boys in faith, praying for them, sharing God's word, and personally walking out our own faith. Hope was challenged when our boys began taking steps away from the faith we thought was deeply rooted in them, but we never gave up.
The conviction not seen, that's where we presently are. This is where faith is demonstrated by patience in us. By faith, we are patiently trusting God to bring about the unseen growth in their heart and lives. We ask Him daily to remind us over and over and over. That's His job. That's His job. He's got them. He's at work deep in the soil of their lives. In the meantime, we pray to lovingly plant these seeds and to water the soil as the opportunity arises. God's at work even when we don't see it. There are hints of change, and that's enough because God is more than enough. So the roller coaster ride will continue as long as we're here on planet Earth. Trust God is at work in your children's lives and in their collisions. They are experiencing, and they will experience their own bumpy rides in their own life. God's using these collisions to draw them to Himself and reveal their need for Him. Don't rescue them from their own collisions. So ultimately, God is the one who wants to be their heavenly Father, the one that He can trust in the midst of this ride. Thank you all.